True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back, folks. Have you ever seen a rugby game? Well, I have. They are a lot of fun, and it seems to be a growing movement across this country and an opportunity here in Louisiana to grow this program. And we're joined by Denton Hunter, COO of Rain Rugby Academy, and JP Duplessis, who is the Director of Rugby Development and High Performance Rain Rugby Academy as well. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, Denton, I'm sorry. Wait, who's Denton?
Let's start over.
So Denton is a female. I apologize. And JP joins us as well, right?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you. I apologize. So tell. So if you would, Denton, start off and tell us, what is Rain Rugby?
Absolutely. So we are a nonprofit that offers a complete pathway for kids. So we start as an introduction to PE through the PE programs at schools. And our hope is that, you know, kids will learn about rugby and be introduced to it and then want to play, you know, whether it's through the leagues or various different ways.
Yeah, and I think one of the things to just add the, you know, I think to is to explain, you know, rugby is played by 128 different countries. The Rugby World Cup itself is the third largest sporting event in the world, only behind soccer and the Olympics. And the great news is that the Rugby World Cup is coming to the United States in 2031 for men and 2033 for women. And we've seen a massive surge of youth participation in rugby in the United States. So that's truly amazing to see.
Yes, and it's as you pointed out, I didn't realize so many countries, you know, participated in rugby. But it's actually been a growing sport across around the world as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, you've seen the you know, I'm sure Denton will touch on it, but how women's rugby has grown across the world, which is massive to see. A lot more countries are participating over the past 5 years. It is truly an amazing game.
Now, so what sets this sport apart? What makes it different, you know, both from the participant as well as the person that's the spectator that's out there in the stands?
Really, there's a couple things that make it different. And the one thing that I appreciate the most is its inclusivity. So it's a sport that kind of gives everybody, there's a spot for everybody. It's all different sizes, all different backgrounds, and everybody on the field is needed. It's also a very high values. So people who, you know, we want to instill in our kids the values, and rugby's values are all about inclusivity, respect, discipline, and it's taken to a different level than other sports. It's very instilled in how we coach and how they play the game. One of my favorite stories is that at the end of a game, usually in most sports that we're used to, each team kind of goes and does their own thing. Where in rugby, they come together and have a social, both teams. They cheer for both teams, kind of bringing that family and that inclusive side to it.
Now, not unlike football here, there's a flag rugby version of rugby as well, where it's a lot less contact, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We do offer a flag program as well, which is where we give kids the opportunity to come out, learn this beautiful sport of rugby in a non-contact way. You know, we also offer other programs to schools where we offer a PE curriculum from 3 to 10 weeks, where we've already designed all the sessions. We give the equipment, we do the training, all for free. And schools that are interested, we'll come out for a day, do an exhibition at the school, show them this, you know, what we have to offer. The kids come through, we show them how engaging and you know, the constant movement and just the all-round greatness that rugby brings to the schools. And then once they have it installed, we'll do the training and we'll help them install it in the PE. And then, you know, for after school, we offer a after school program for kids that really enjoyed the PE and the rugby to come out to the after school program, where it's run by Rain Rugby. It's a 10-week after school program where we really work with them more intensely on the skills and develop them and kind of shape them to be able to, you know, play within the flag leagues or and play rugby within the future.
One of the things that caught my eye about this and why I brought you guys on is that, you know, this is for kids 5 to 18 years of age, but y'all have the infrastructure in place, you say, to serve up to 20,000 kids across Southeast Louisiana. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We actually have already reached 3,000 in the past couple of weeks. Our goal is to get as many kids introduced to the sport as possible. And then those kids are going to be basically introduced to this global sport where they're learning about people in other countries and learning about their cultures as well. But yes, for the first year, we plan on introducing rugby to at least 20,000 kids across the state. And then by year 5, we're looking to reach out to 150,000 kids.
So, how is this? What has been the buy-in around this country? We hear that it's a growing sport. I mean, there's now professional organizations. We've had one here in New Orleans. They've been a little bit on again, off again. In fact, I think they suspended their play for this season in hopes of coming back next season. What do you think has been the biggest barriers for the U.S. to embrace rugby?
I think the first barrier is just not having an introduction to it. You can't play what you don't know about, and that's our biggest focus is how do we introduce as many kids to this sport as possible? Because what kids in Louisiana need more than anything is opportunity, and that's what we're bringing is we're giving them one more opportunity to be introduced to a sport that we hope they'll fall in love with as much as we love it.
Yeah,
you know, when you watch the sport, you see folks, both women and men, they're really physically fit. I mean,
yeah, of course,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, it is a physical sport.
Yeah, you know, and like one of the things I'd like to add here is you know, if you look at the World Cup that was just played this year, and it was for the Women's World Cup, that I think it was over 88,000 spectators at the game. Which is massive, and it broke all sorts of records, you know. So it's great to see that, yes, it is, it is truly a game for all shapes and sizes and, you know, all genders, for everyone to compete and participate. And that's truly the amazing thing about rugby, you know, the inclusiveness of it.
Yeah, but so you also mentioned that it's a very physical sport, but that's why we feel like it's so important that kids get introduced to it the proper way, too. So we, like, prioritize safe technique, learning the skills so that when they do start playing at the tackling versus the flag, that they're doing it correctly and safely.
Now, you guys have a flag rugby league that's kicking off on January 7th, and registration is open now at reignrugby.com. That's reignrugby.com. So what would they expect to experience if they sign up for this league?
Yeah. So the exciting thing is we're currently working on three locations, which is Baton Rouge, Covington, and New Orleans. And within each of those locations, they'll compete internally against each other over the course of 8 weeks. And at the end of the seasons, these three regions will get together and on one day we'll host a big tournament or festival-style tournament where they can compete against each other, and really just bringing the community together, the rugby community together from all the areas, and give the kids an opportunity to, you know, meet each other, socialize afterwards, as Denton mentioned, but also start competing and start playing this beautiful game.
Go ahead, Denton.
Okay, no experience is needed. I'm making my daughters are signing up for it, so we welcome girls, boys. Zero experience needed to come out. Really, all they need is, you know, probably some tennis shoes to come out and play, but also, you know, the want to learn something new.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If teachers and families are maybe, or is there availability for schools to get involved?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things we're doing right now is we are reaching out to schools to go to their classrooms, do like PE takeover days, where we can start to teach their kids. Teachers or school administrators can also go to our website, reignrugby.com, and get information about having us come to their school, come to their PE classes, setting up after school programs. We want to reach out to everybody, so everyone is included in that.
Yeah, and to add to Denton there, sorry, is also that we are trying to make it as simple and easy as possible. We understand that a lot of these PE teachers have probably never heard of rugby before, and even if they have no idea how to teach the kids. So, again, when we install these programs, we truly give all the tools and guide them step for step through the whole process.
And I excuse my ignorance, but are there rugby teams in high schools in Louisiana now?
Yep, absolutely. So currently we have seven high school teams competing across New Orleans. The North Shore has a couple, and then there's one in Baton Rouge as well. So it is growing significantly, and it's great to see, you know, the young men starting to compete. And to touch on what Denton said earlier, is we're also introducing tackle programs to teach safe tackling, safe and effective tackling, to help guide these kids going from flag to tackle, which is also amazing to help them transfer.
Kind of interesting how, you know, our style of football has piqued the curiosity of those in Europe and in Asia and other places, and their style of, you know, football, soccer, that is, and rugby is piquing the interest of the folks here, right?
Amazing.
It's an interesting dynamic that's going on right now.
Yeah, there's a saying in South Africa, and I guess the rugby world, is that America is the sleeping giants of rugby. You know, once they wake up to rugby, I think there'll be a truly great nation competing, and it's already growing. You can see it year on year, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck to y'all. And if folks are interested, they can go to reignrugby.com. That's reignrugby.com. Check it out, folks. Looks like they have a great list of opportunities for young kids from age 5 through 18 to participate. Be a great thing to check out. Denton Hunter and JP Duplessis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870. We'll visit with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. The Dirty Birds take the win, 24-10. We'll unwrap that when we return.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry Yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. The Saints lose to the Dirty Birds 24-10. They are now 2-9. Jeff, I'm not even sure where to start. I guess I'll start with this. We got to at least kick a field goal. We got to start making field goals.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because there have been misses this season, and you can look at it and say, well, that didn't directly impact the final result. You know, it was a kind of lost in the data, you know, lost in the noise. In this case, the two missed field goals completely changed the outlook of that game. In a game where it's like you could tell going in, like after the first drive or the second drive, it was like, okay, this is going to be tough sledding for the Saints offense. They're clearly not handling the pressure well. You need to maximize every scoring opportunity you have. And they did the exact opposite. You know, if all you do is make those two field goals in the first half, you go into the break, you know, 13-16, right? It's a 3-point game. And then that drive to start the third quarter is a drive that makes you feel like you're taking over that game. Like the Saints had the ball. The Saints did to the Falcons what the Rams did to the Saints in LA. And what did we come out of that game talking about? How coming out of halftime in the third quarter, the Rams just took control of that game and didn't give the Saints a chance because they only ran three plays in the third quarter. Well, how many plays did the Falcons run in the third quarter? They only got three plays. The problem is the Saints didn't score a point. And who knows, if you are down 3 points, maybe you kick a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down there. I still would have advised to go for the touchdown. But like that's a different game entirely. If you're looking at it as a 3-point deficit compared to a 9-point deficit, obviously they didn't score a touchdown there. They had another 15 play drive after the defense got up the field. But no, I mean, I don't fault the team for trying to let Blake Groupie work through the early season issues. And it did seem like he had gotten back on track, right? He had made 7 of his last 8 kicks. He only missed was from 53 yards out in Chicago. It was a windy day. So you kind of like, okay, if that's the only miss. But there were red flags at the same time. Like, a lot of these kicks were short, that he had not made a single kick over 50 yards in that span, and they turned down several opportunities for kicks that you would expect an NFL team to attempt. You're talking about 55-yarders, 57-yarders, 58-yarders. You punted in those scenarios. And, you know, it might be Kellen Moore just being passive, and that's not outside the realm of possibility, but it sure looked to me like a team that's trying to protect the confidence of a kicker at the expense of scoring opportunities, right? Against the Panthers, you had two situations where you could have kicked long field goals and you didn't. It was also a windy day, but, you know, it's just, it's impacting your team to the level that it's costing you games. And as much as, you know, Blake Groupie's a team captain, everyone in that locker room loves him. He's a good dude, but you got to make your kicks. And at this stage, I just don't think you can continue to roll with that. You got to look at other options, and it does sound like they're doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it just the second one that they missed, you could just tell. You could read the face of everybody on the sideline, right? And it was like,
yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, you know, we just were able to get some limited success moving down the field, and now this again for the second time, and you just felt like the wind just fall right out of the sails.
100%. And it's hard to quantify just how depleting that is, demoralizing that is. Like, you need points to feel like you're competing, right? Like, the most frustrating thing about that game is it was insanely winnable. The Falcons did not play well. Kirk Cousins' arm is toast. Like, I get it. They won that game. Kirk made one good throw in that game, and it was the long ball to Darnell Mooney. And I said before the game, like, I believe he can still throw that long ball, because the long ball is a lot more about trajectory and timing than arm strength, and it's about putting it in the right spot. If you go back and watch that game, every single time Kirk Cousins had to drive the ball 10 to 15 yards downfield, it was fluttering. Like, a couple times it got saved. A lot of them fell to the dirt, but you go look at Justin Reed's interception. What happened, right? He tries to drive the ball over the middle of the field. It doesn't have any pace. Kool-Aid gets in there, knocks it up for a pick six. Like, he did not have the juice to go win that game. The Saints had to put up a number and force them to have scoreboard pressure, and they just weren't able to do it. You will, if you look at, okay, you missed two field goals, one from 38, one from 47. Those should be makes 95% of the time. This season notwithstanding, that's what you should be expecting, is those kicks go in 95 times out of 100. Then you have two drives down to the 1 yard line that account for three total points. If you only score in the situations that NFL teams should expect to score 100% of the time, you probably win that game. Like, if that's the only thing that changes, and you wasted a really strong defensive effort. I know there was that one really obnoxious drive where they allowed the conversion on 2nd and 24 and then the touchdown. Otherwise, I felt like they played really well. They did have a bust in the end zone on David Sills, but you just asked the defense to do too much. And, you know, you got to be able, like, you talk about complementary football. Like, we've seen games where the defense didn't deliver. They delivered in that game, and the offense just let them down.
Yeah. And the Falcons, 9 penalties for 82 yards. Usually it's flipped. The Saints had 4 for 36. And the red zone efficiency, we talk about this every week, it was abysmal as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, because I do think the Saints did a good job of turning high red zone opportunities into low red zone opportunities, in that, you know, your percentages, you know, we talk about red zone as if it's all the same. If you're running plays from the 18, your scoring percentage goes way down compared to if you're running plays from the 8 or the 5, right? And I do think that what they did well in this game, especially on those two long drives, is they moved the ball down toward the goal line. So the issue wasn't necessarily the red zone efficiency. It was the goal-to-go efficiency. It was the inside the 10 efficiency. They ran 9 plays. Did not score a touchdown, you know, and that's it's so demoralizing watching that type, like, when you feel like you can't score from the 1 yard line, and it sure felt like they could have got 10 shots at it. Didn't feel like they were going to, they did get 10 shots at it. They could have got 20 shots at it. It didn't feel like they were going to be able to get that ball in there. And it's just, when you feel that way watching a team, it's just like, well, how are you going to score? right? How are you going to consistently put up points if you can't run the ball in from the one? And, you know, the Saints clearly thought, Kellen Moore thought, Taysom Hill's usage in those scenarios. You know, he talked about it after the game. You get that extra blocker on the field, which is what happens when you take Tyler Shuck off the field, as opposed to some of those reps where he just kind of runs over to the edge and is just there. When you take him off the field, you get that 10th blocker, and theoretically that gives you an advantage. It has not been an advantage. Like, I get the idea, but it's not working. And the frustrating element to me is you're looking at a 2-9 football team. And yeah, I get it. Like, you look at it and say, this is our best chance to score a touchdown, but you need to know what you have in the quarterback. And these are premium development opportunities in a game that, you know, if you win it, fantastic. If you lose it, whatever, you're just improving your draft pick. I need to know what I have in the quarterback. And having Taysom Hill take 5 of the 9 goal-to-go reps, like, that area of the field is the difference between an elite quarterback who drives winning and an average quarterback who puts up a bunch of yards in between the 20s and then kind of peters out. Like, Derek Carr has pretty elite numbers in the middle of the field. Like, you look at Derek Carr's run with the Saints. He was pretty elite mm-hmm. between the 20s. It was when you got down toward the goal line that the Saints offense just couldn't get it done. And I still don't know. Like, it's hard to blame Tyler Shuck. He didn't throw a single pass, or at least he was not credited with an actual pass in the red zone in that game. There was one that was a pass interference. So you kind of give him that, right? I think there might have been 2 pass interferences, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, like, I can't continue to sit here and if I'm Kellen Moore, be like, oh, let's see what we have in Taysom. Taysom's not the future. I love Taysom. I'm as big a Taysom Hill fan as you'll find. The final half of this season can't be, let's figure out the Taysom offense for the Saints, because it's just, that just can't, that's not your future. It's just infuriating to watch.
Yeah. And so we missed 2 field goals. I think we dropped 3, if not 4 passes. My memory serves me correct.
I'm not sure about the – I didn't keep track of the drops. I didn't feel like drops were a huge issue in that game, if I'm being honest. You know, like, there was a few inaccurate throws by Tyler that I think were a bigger issue. Like Juwan Johnson makes a diving catch on 3rd down on a play that's like, you got to put that ball on him. He shouldn't have to dive. If he catches it and runs, it's probably a 1st down. And what we talked about last week was the accuracy was solid. Like, one of the things I was really happy with Tyler was the accuracy. And when you're throwing to a running back, you can't be forcing him to fight the ball. He's just got to be able to catch that in his frame and go. And there were a few instances that I think you could potentially call a drop that I think were just poorly delivered balls to the running back. Yeah. And I think that's a product of, you know, Tyler's getting pressure in his face all day. The Saints did not handle the Falcons' pressure well. This is a team that sends an extra rusher on nearly half their defensive snaps. The 2 young edge rushers they drafted look really good. Jalen Walker, James Pierce, they were getting pressure. You know, the Falcons were generating pressure up the interior. I think Chuck was sacked 5 times, and it seemed he could have been more. He got rid of the ball a few times. So, to me, that's the issue. It's you didn't give the quarterback enough time, and in because of that, you saw a lot more kind of missed opportunities in the pass game than you would like to see. And that has been a trend. Like, if you look at which games the Saints' offense has struggled the most in this year, it's been in the matchups with kind of the top-end, top-tier pressure teams, right? Like, the Rams pressure the quarterback as well as anybody. The Bucs send a ton of pressure, and they pressure the quarterback. You put up 3 points in that game. The Seahawks are low-key a really strong pressure team, and you couldn't get anything done in that game, although it was really special teams that stood out more. I think Dennis Allen, his defense, you know, they're not up toward the top in the pressure stats, but they did send a lot of pressure in that game, and the Saints offense really struggled with it. So it's a disturbing trend about the Saints offense to this stage. I think part of it is you have an inexperienced quarterback, and, you know, he may not be handling those looks as well and as a veteran guy might. But that's my biggest concern is you're just not handling pressure.
And the pressure came every time they got within the red zone. I mean, you know, I remember one set they were there, and they I think it was 1st and goal at around the 18 or whatever, and in the first 2 plays they lost yardage on. And, you know, the one one on a blitz, and then one they nailed somebody in the backfield running the ball. And, you know, that you need to get positive yards, obviously, if you're, you know, first and 10 on the 18-yard line.
Are you talking about the one after the long kick return?
I think that was it, yeah.
Yeah, which you got to give Tipton credit. I thought he played well, given more opportunities. That kick return at that moment was like, wow, this is huge. Like, the Saints are going to take control of this game. Nope. But yeah, I think one of the reasons the Saints struggle in the red zone is, and one of the reasons teams struggle in the red zone in general, is you can get more aggressive as a defense because you don't have to worry about a guy going over the top. It's why,
right,
I think that it's a red herring to think that the Taysom Hill red zone offense should be elite, because one of the reasons it works is because there's a threat of a pass. Like, if they're going to send everyone up at the line, Taysom could theoretically throw it over the top. So they have to at least play that somewhat honestly. When you're down there inside the 20, you know, you don't have to worry about that much field, so you can send pressure and you can get into exotic looks. And, you know, it's not like you're not going to give up a 70-yard touchdown pass, you know. And when you take away a lot of the field that the team has to defend, they can get more aggressive. So, yeah, I mean, it just felt like the second you got down there, and to be fair, in the second half, again, like I said, like, I thought they did well of cutting that out. Like, that first red zone drive, yeah, there was the pressure. It took it away. The second two, like, you can't ask for much more than to get the ball down to the 1 yard line and give yourself chances from that situation. They had a first and goal from the 5. So it's not about the pressure. It's about not executing. And obviously the snap over Taysom Hill's head was on the center, I imagine. I think Taysom, if I tell you, he should have caught it, but it was a high snap. So, yeah, I mean, the Saints went into this game with the worst efficiency in the red zone in the NFL by a pretty wide margin, and that number only went down. So, yeah, I mean, that's the story. That's the story of this season for the Saints, is close but no cigar. Because, again, if you finish off those drives, you probably win that game, right? If all you do is make field goals that inside of 50 yards and score from the 1 yard line, you win. And because that felt impossible, it feels like they got blown out.
So, you know, this is going to sound like a crazy question, but where do you go from here? I mean, we're having difficulty protecting, you know, the quarterback, obviously. We're playing teams that are just not that good. The Falcons come off a 5-game losing streak, right? We have 6 games left, 4 on the road, 2 at home. Most of these teams, I don't think there's a single team here that's really setting the world on fire, as I recall. You know, that we go play the Dolphins next weekend and at Miami, and then we play the Bucs at Tampa, and then we come home for 2 games, and then we're gone for the last 2 games of the season. I don't know. It just, how do you get up? How do you stay competitive? I didn't see that we were putting a lot of pressure on Cousins either from the outside. Most of our pressure came on the inside. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I did feel like the defense did generate some pressure. The issue is when you're playing from behind the entire game, like when you're down 9 points, Kirk's not going to stand in there and have to deliver the ball. He's going to get the ball out. I mean, I think they had 5 drives that were either 3 or 4 and outs. But no, I mean, just from the rest of the way, it's you got to develop players. And I think that's what makes me so frustrated about the whole Taysom Hill part of it is, like, I get it. Taysom Hill is kind of an elite short yardage player for you, but this season has to be about development. And you've seen them signal that in so many different ways, where you don't trade Rashid Shaheed if winning right now is your priority. You don't release Brandon Cooks if winning right now is your priority. You're not taking Pete Werner off the field and playing Danny Stutzman for the development. You're not starting Quincy Riley over Ike Yadam. You're not starting Jonas Sanker over a veteran safety if it's all about winning right now and not about development. And then at the most important position on the field, development doesn't seem to be the primary focus. And I just don't understand that. The same thing with the kicker. Like, I think they should just bring up Charlie Smith off the practice squad and say, okay, let's see what you have, right? Worst case scenario, he misses kicks and you're right back where you were before that. And you can at least go forward saying, all right, we gave it a shot, you know? And then if he does deliver and if he has the juice, then great. You have a chance that he's your kicker for the long term and you move forward. I just think that if you're going to do it, you got to do it, you know? And the half measures are kind of frustrating me. In that, like, if you're going to struggle in the red zone, if you're going to be the worst red zone team in the NFL, at least be that way with your rookie quarterback that you're trying to figure out if he can get it done. Like, that's what I need to see the rest of the way.
So, Jeff, I mean, I don't keep up on this like I used to, but I mean, you know, my gut tells me, well, how many more years does Taysom have? I mean, how many more years does Kamara have? I mean, how many more years does DeMario? How many Cam? How many... You know, I mean, we've got 5, 6, 7 players more likely than not, and that's starting on any of the premier NFL teams, right? I mean, they're just not. And
yeah,
here we are.
On DeMario. DeMario is still playing at an incredibly high level. He has 102 tackles. He's going to set a new career high in tackles by like week 15. And Cam still delivered. Like, Cam's a part-time player now. He had a strip sack in that game, so you give that to him. But Taysom, I would be stunned if this isn't his last year in New Orleans. His contract's up after this year, and what I just don't see how you could justify unless he's willing to play for like virtually nothing. I don't think he's going to be back here. So, you know, that's what's frustrating me. And Alvin. You know, we'll have to see what his injury is. It does sound like he avoided anything major. It's youth movement time. And you figure out what that looks like as you go. But no, I think this team does value veteran leadership, and I don't disagree with that. Like, the youth benefits from having the old guys there to guide them. And I think we've seen that at a lot of different positions over the years. But no, this team has to look in the mirror and admit to itself what it is, which is like, you are one of the worst teams in the NFL, if not the worst team in the NFL. The records show you that. The numbers show you that. If you're looking at this and saying, okay, we're good, we don't need to change anything, we just need to stay the course, then that's just not being pragmatic, and this thing isn't going to improve anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the rest of the season holds. Obviously, I just think when you are trying to create some different things, you know, you have a couple of players there that I mentioned that you might be able to get something for and make your team a lot younger. Because rebuild years are not usually 1 year; they're a multiple of years. Yeah. You know, so you know, just. Thinking ahead as to how much longer do they actually really have. It's a conversation that I'm sure people will be talking about a lot in the future. As always, Jeff Nowak, truly enjoy the conversation and the insight. Thank you so much, sir. Did a great job over the weekend. We appreciate that as well. WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. We'll talk again next week.
Yes, sir. Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody.
You too, my friend. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play Store. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
At this. Welcome back, folks. Got a couple of texts about people saying that they knew that this was going to be a rebuild year, and you know, so they're not despondent today. They knew that it would be painful. I mean, I feel the same way. I just really want the team to be competitive. And then I have folks that say, stick to politics. You don't know anything about football. I never suggested that I did. I'm an avid fan like most others, and I watch things and kind of scratch my head, and I'm a little bit mystified about why we're doing things the way that we're doing it. We're premiering players that probably shouldn't be on the roster, and at some point in time you have to decide when leadership is more valuable than the quality of play. And I like to spend time, you know, watching one or two individual players on the team and just kind of hone in on them to see what they're actually contributing. And I never really reveal who I'm honed in on, you know, when I talk on the show, because I don't know enough about what type of play was called. Maybe that was what they were designed to do, or, you know, as it relates to containment or whatever it may be. But I just, that there were players that just seemed to get beat almost every play of the game. And, you know, folks that are on my short list are probably not going to be there for any length of period of time in the future. I don't know what their value is to other teams. I would suspect in some cases not much at all. I would suspect in other cases they might be able to get a little. But the fact of the matter is that we must have some young talent out there that we're trying to develop. And, I mean, at 2-9, even though the stats in our conference are really not good. I think Tampa Bay lost again, if my memory serves me correct. Obviously, the Falcons won. But, you know, Carolina is down at the bottom as well. You know, it's just one of those situations where you wonder where this is all going. We got 6 games left, 2 at home, 4 away. A lot of teams that are struggling, and we'll see, you know, whether or not we are competitive. We seem to be snatching defeat from the jaws of victory far too often, and not being able to make 4th-and-1s repeatedly is a little troublesome, quite frankly. I mean, we see other teams do it religiously and able to pull it off. Don't understand quite why we're not here. You know, and you know, this whole thing about the utilization of Taysom, why not throw the ball? Drop back, you know, play like you're running and drop back and throw it. But again, I'm not the football analyst, but it just, you know, you put him in there for a purpose. He was successful a couple of times. would have been nice to have seen a pass somewhere. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about the crypto collapse and what it means, jobs report, and the implications for December interest rate cut. We'll talk about first mortgage loans and more.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.